you're going to be our man in hurricane reporting territory.
you want me to get out there and
yeah. It's do not the most and, yeah. important news. Yeah. Like, oh, this is Kyle from Attack of the Fanboy. I'm out of here, Toys R Us. I'm looking for that new Amiibo in the middle of a hurricane.
Yeah, I've always wanted to
the
be that guy.
The winds are really whipping, Will. I'm not sure how long I can stay out here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to keep my battery packs charged in case we lose power. I'll be playing a lot of 3DS.
This is the Attack of the Fanboy podcast for October 6, 2016. It's episode 40-something. I have no idea.
43?
Okay, we'll go with
that. I'm going to say 43.
I'm here with Kyle, and we are going to talk about the news that we deem most important for this week so far, or since the last podcast. But first, what have you been up to, Kyle, other than trying to get away from this hurricane that's heading your way?
Well, played Paper Mario, which, you know, we'll talk about later. But in more important news, I've been playing, of course, Pokemon Go. And I am one away from having a complete U.S. Pokedex. Wow. 142 of 142. Nothing left for me to catch unless I fly to Europe or Japan or Australia.
The grind is almost done. The real question on people's minds are you going to do that? Are you going to take trips across the world to collect them all? To really catch them all, Kyle.
I don't know.
To truly catch them all, because I know that sounds great, your 100 Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
North American Pokedex, but wouldn't it be awesome to have all of them?
It would.
Gallivant around Europe.
Sometimes, you know, you got to fly for work purposes. Maybe a connecting flight just happens to be in England.
Perhaps.
going from Florida to, you know, California or something. I don't know.
Can you guys take the long way and stop? In London.
Yeah.
That's quite an accomplishment.
Oh, thank you.
I haven't accomplished anything like that. Not even close. But I have turned into a recluse over the last week. I bought that 1080, that GTX 1080 over the weekend, and I have been stuck in a hole of like console games, Destiny, games that I'm reviewing, games that I want to retry that are like 5 to 6 years old and in 4K on PC. You know, it's just been a nightmare.
Yeah.
A true nightmare. I mean, I guess there
a
could
nightmare
be...
nightmare of gorgeous visuals, I would assume.
Yeah, a nightmare of gorgeous visuals. Of course. I mean, it's great from that perspective. It's like, oh, I'm going back and playing all these old games that I love. New games that look great. Which I'm probably not going to cover, but I did do a little write-up on the Forza Horizon 3 on PC. Because that game was having some technical issues, and I wanted to see... that was one of the reasons I went out and got that card, because that was the first console game that I tried to run at relatively high settings that was giving me poor performance on my old card. Like really poor performance, like had to not take down a lot of things. A lot of games this generation I've been able to run on that card. I bought it around the same time that those consoles came out, and I kind of thought it would carry me through the generation. And, you know, it kind of seems like it's going to.
Yeah.
In like, if you want to, they don't want to call it a new generation, but when they release 4K consoles, it's going to be a new generation.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that card kind of got me to it. As I'm looking at it, you know, Microsoft's last two big exclusives came to PC with that Play Anywhere, and they both look amazing in 4K. Like, they're optimized for, like, Forza's totally optimized for 30 FPS in 4K on that 1080.
Mm-hmm.
It looks incredible, plays incredible. It's how it's supposed to be played. You know, PC gamers might be like, well, I want the frame rate uncapped and all this stuff. And you can do that. but it's just not as stable.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, 4K takes a lot of horsepower.
Dude, I'm telling you, I mean, maybe I underestimated how powerful the GTX 1080 is, or maybe Microsoft's doing a good job with these games that they've just released, but both Forza and Gears look amazing and run incredibly well in 4K.
Hmm.
And it's kind of like, holy shit, is this what their new console is going to be like? No way.
No.
I mean, I have to say that, but maybe it's going to be along those lines. But they're not going to be quite true 4K. They're going to be maybe upscaled, but
yeah,
they're going to look good. I'm assuming maybe this is where they're getting their practice in.
Yeah, I mean, those 1080s anyway, are beasts. I think everybody underestimates them just because it was a massive... They went from, like, the Titan was, like, over $1,000, and that the 1080 is better than a Titan. I think it's better than a Titan X.
I don't think it's better than a Titan X. I think bang for your buck, it's better than a Titan X.
Yeah, yeah.
But not, like, on... the pure specs of the card, because even when I'm turning into, like, I'm gonna look at benchmarks and I'm gonna look at what does my card do, can I run, you know, and oh shit, now wait, I'm gonna have to get a new processor as well.
Yeah, I need to do that too.
I mean, I'm still there with, I have a 3.6 gigahertz, it's like mm-hmm. an i7, it's a good processor, but it's like, well, I'm probably gonna need a 4 here.
Yeah.
Here soon. Maybe I'll do that. Or yeah, maybe I'll wait for a new one. I don't know. This is not your PC Tech Talk Hot Corner. I just bought a GTX 1080, and, you know, I have nothing but praises to sing of it. So let's get into the news for this week. We're going to start with something we talked about last week. Fallout 4 and Skyrim Remastered are apparently going to receive mods after Sony, you know, was pretty... They stopped. They were just kind of stopping Bethesda from doing what they wanted with the mods for the PlayStation 4.
Yep. Apparently, now, Bethesda said that they would keep working on it, and apparently they did.
And... you wrote this article. When is this? Did they put any time limits on when this stuff is coming?
Not specifically, but Skyrim Remastered will launch with mod support, and they said that will come first. So okay. October 28th is Skyrim Remastered. Fallout 4 after that date will get an update that allows for mods.
Hmm.
And along with this, they announced 4K for PS4 Pro.
Okay.
For both games. And really? Yeah, and the stipulation on the mods, though, there, which a lot of people are very upset about, is you can't use external assets to create your mods. So, okay, like on this article, there's a picture, and like it's a Darth Vader helmet and lightsabers. Those are, you know, things that people created, added into the creation software, and used in their mods. They can't do that on PS4. It needs to be things that are already in that creation set.
Huh. Yeah, that is... Does that defeat the point of it?
A lot of people are saying yes. I mean, it's something.
I wonder why they're doing that. Is it? You think it's because they don't want to be sued?
I think it's just Sony's proprietary... BS. Sony is always...
their proprietary BS?
Yeah. They're always using proprietary stuff, and they don't want people messing with their consoles. You know, ever since that Linux on PS3 bit them in the butt.
It's understandable.
They've been very down on that sort of stuff. So I think that was just part of the restrictions and something that they had to work through.
Hmm. Well, either way, that's really good news for PS4 owners, and more specifically, fans of Bethesda games that want to get that kind of somewhat, sounds like it's going to be somewhat close to the PC or Xbox One experience for mods, at least to be able to do something.
Yeah, it'll be as close as they can get. I mean, it's not going to be the same thing, but it at least can, you can no longer say Fallout 4 on PS4 does not have mods. It's got something.
We made true on our word. Now we're out.
Yeah.
Make your shitty mods with these shitty tools. but I think that announcement of native 4K on the PlayStation 4 Pro for Skyrim sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they had some screenshots on that announcement.
I have some screenshots. Nice. I was playing Skyrim in 4K this weekend.
Oh, yeah. What was, yep. What was the was biggest, awesome. Like, you went back and played an old game and you were like, wow, this one looks good. What was the biggest change for you?
The best looking game was Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Dying Light.
Dying Light, yep.
You mentioned Dying that. Light looks fucking awesome in there. I need to do some controller modifications or something because there's like a dead zone issue with the way that that game moves. It's got a more realistic feel, I guess, but I'm trying to get it dialed into how I like it to control. Mm. But boy, I'm going back and playing that one as soon as I'm done.
Cool.
Just, you know, playing through everything else, doing, getting through review season, all that stuff. You know what I also want to talk about that we didn't put on our list for news, but PlayStation VR kind of snuck out into the media this week.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been covering, I mean, have you been watching this at all?
Yeah. I checked out a couple of the reviews. It's because
they're not good.
They're not. They're not great.
They're not good. They're actually bad.
Yeah, and I kept wondering, like, because I've had good experience. You know that. I've had good experience.
I've had good experience with this thing.
Yeah, but it seems like, and I've worried about this, like, you go to a convention and
it's a controlled environment.
It's a controlled environment. It's not an optimal environment. You've got lights and sounds and all of that, but they got to go in there and get that set up and make sure that everything was good.
And like this demo, all they're going to see is this part of this demo, and it looks good, and this is in the form that we need it to be in to impress people.
Yeah, and everyone with this thing at their home or in their office is not having a good time.
Yeah, I don't know if I mean, that stuff's making me want to cancel my pre-order, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think
there's still
going
to be some, like, the more I hear about it, and it all, it seems so novel. Like, oh, you can play any game with this thing strapped to your face. You can just sit in your own, have your own little personal big screen. And then you think about it, you know how bad the resolution's going to be on that? It's not going to, you're never going to do that. And if
no,
there's
I,
like,
yeah, that never makes sense to me. Even with the Vive,
that was one of the cool things I thought. Oh, I would do it if the screens were the right. I like it because sometimes I pull my chair right up to the TV because I like that, like, in your real in your face, like, overwhelming aspect if you're sitting real close. So I wouldn't mind the headset to do that well, but the screens would have to be much better, obviously, and they're not for the PlayStation VR, and like, that's not the only stuff that people are complaining about. They're complaining about, like, glitches and, like, what have
jittery
you seen?
Stuff, just,
yeah, jittery, it, like, the way that
things,
the, it's things basically that, it's working on technology from what, 5 or 6 years ago, basically,
yeah,
combined, I mean, with the virtual reality,
yeah, the headset itself, you know, is definitely lower tech than other stuff that we've seen. And then it's running off of a PS4, which, you know,
with a
good,
giant
good
box
console.
That apparently has, like, a lot of fucking wires and crazy shit that comes with it.
And I mean, the thing with VR is if it's not a perfect experience, it's not like a game on a screen where you're like, ugh, the frame rate sucks and it had this problem and that problem. No, if VR has a problem, you get a headache and you maybe throw up and you need to take a break and sick. Like, it ruins your day if you have a bad VR experience.
Even VR, even at its best, is only, like, best done in short doses, right? Like, even when it's perfect, you still can't do too much of it.
Yes.
I mean, at least for me personally, I did a interview thing at E3 for Oculus, and they have you playing three games in a row. By the end of that third game, and it was like 45 minutes later, I was like, oh my God, like that was grueling. Mm-hmm. Between the different things you're doing with the touch controllers and stuff like that, moving around. Yeah, if this stuff's not perfect, it's I don't know. Is this going to disappoint people? This is supposed to be like the thing that we talked about for the last year of PlayStation and the PlayStation VR, you know, being the ones who break this into the mainstream consumer.
The masses. Yeah.
And if it sucks, that's what people are going to think that Oculus is. That's what people are going to think that Vive is. And it doesn't matter how much you know, people write or make videos about how different those things may be. The word is going to get out that this is not good. This is like a novelty sort of kiddie tool type thing, basically, right?
Yeah, people are already talking about VR and wondering if it's a gimmick. And I think anyone who's tried a Vive in room scale or Oculus with the touch controllers in its room scale can say it's not a gimmick. It's not just something that can be a flash in the pan and go away. I mean, it can really change the way people play games. Not all games, but a portion of games can really be revolutionized by VR. And yeah, I mean, if people have never tried VR before and they pick up PSVR and they have a bad experience with it, whether it's the fault of them setting it up wrong or anything else, it doesn't matter. That's gonna feed into that. It's gonna feed into that narrative, and then it will spiral out of control. So definitely rough. It's worrisome, actually, like what kind of impact this will have on VR as a whole if this does. I mean, there have been good reviews, but it can't be this 50-50 where half the audience has a terrible experience and half the audience has the best experience that they've ever had with their PS4. You can't have that, because the other half, or the bad half, is going to abandon it.
Yeah. And then what happens after that is developers stop supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not making the games for the PlayStation VR. And that's what happened with the Move. I wonder why they went with the Move. You know, now when you think about it, like using that stuff, it didn't work that well back then.
Thought it worked decently. It just didn't have good support.
I don't know. Even on some of the best games, it was pretty spotty. Mm. At least for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff was kind of gimmicky. It's not... I don't think it's good enough to be put side by side with VR. You need something like what Oculus and Vive did, right?
Yeah.
You need something a little better, something a little with a little bit newer technology in it. I'm guessing. I don't know. I haven't played it yet, other than the convention stuff. I'm not going to cancel my pre-order, but I'm sure thinking about it. We need to have one. So.
Yeah,
if we just shit on it for the next X amount of years until they release one that's actually, you know, on scale with like PC and stuff like that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the PS4 Pro impacts a lot of these complaints, but some of them don't seem to be fixable with just...
No, the screen stuff isn't going to be fixable.
Yeah.
Like... That was the one thing I noticed. It's so stark. Every time you put that headset on after you've used the Vive or Oculus, it is blurry.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, I know this from playing just a handful of games. The screens aren't quite as good.
Yes.
You know, so that's always going to make a difference, no matter how much power you push into that thing. It's always going to have that blurry sort of pixelated look. At least until...
So PSVR 2.
PSVR 2.
Yeah. Which will probably be in some R&D facility right now.
It's coming out next year. The PSVR Pro. Let's move along. That was not what we were talking about initially. But somehow we got into virtual reality. Kyle, why is there no Grand Theft Auto 6?
I can tell you.
Or why is there no Grand Theft Auto 6?
Yeah. It's because GTA 5 makes truckloads of money all the time.
Yeah.
Even though it's,
I think that can apply to both Grand Theft Auto 6 and Red Dead, a new Red Dead game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because GTA 5 is making a lot of money with GTA Online.
Yeah, more money now than it made a year ago.
It's that pretty surprised crazy. Me. I get it. It's a great game. That stuff, I can see where people get hooked into that world.
I mean, I definitely did. I put over 100 hours into it, which is a lot for me since I bounce around between games so often.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, shark cards? Really, guys?
You never purchased one?
I never purchased a shark card. No. And I don't see why you would. Like, it's just... I get that they really messed up the grind and you need to play the same missions over and over again to get the money that you need for the better stuff. But I mean, it's not that important. I don't know.
But they've been doing a good job of putting out, you know, different stuff for GTA Online, like just recently.
Oh, definitely.
They did a biker DLC where you could make like motorcycle gangs and do all that stuff. I mean, they keep the community involved, which is the big problem for games that, you know, wear on for a few years, is keeping people playing, keeping people doing stuff. Apparently, they're doing it.
Oh, yeah. They're...
It's not... It's, they haven't done it to me, but, you know, people that I know... Not even anybody that I know plays GTA Online, but there must be a group, a large group of people still playing this across all the platforms. I know Anthony likes to dip back into that once in a while. He's hardcore for that GTA Online. I just never got into it, regardless of even after waiting for like online heists for so long. Mm-hmm. Even when that finally came, I was just kind of over it.
Yeah. And I mean, there's still problems. Like they've done a good job supporting it, but there's still like base issues where if you don't have a group that you're playing with, there's barely any reason to play the game because the matchmaking is terrible. Finding other players to play with is just a horrible experience. And I mean, the overworld, the like hub world where you can meet other players, is just a murder fest. So,
You know, yeah, it's just people running over you, shooting at you. That stuff's fun, but that's not the type of fun that keeps you kind of entrenched into that game.
Yeah. I remember like my first time in GTA Online. I was thinking more along the lines of like DayZ, where maybe you could team up and, you know, become friends. And I drove up to these two guys like, in a car, and I
beep beep.
Yeah, I was like, I went over the headset and I was like, friendly, and they just shot me in the face. And that has been my interaction with random people on GTA Online ever since.
I think that's they're selling the dream right there of just being able to do that in real life to people.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool when they add stuff like the biker stuff, and they added a bunch of new cars recently. It's just, I don't know. It's unfortunate that this makes so much money that it doesn't make sense for them to make either a sequel or single player DLC. There's just no reason for them to devote resources to that. Which I get. I'm not blaming Rockstar. I'm just saying. It's an unfortunate scenario because I would definitely prefer some single player DLC or anything along those lines.
They have put out some incredible downloadable content for their previous games.
Like
full blown expansions. Mm-hmm. Like this motorcycle thing we saw with GTA 4. We saw two huge like standalone expansions for that game. Weren't they standalone? I believe they were.
Yes.
I forget what they were called, but the 4, bikers and the
Ballad of Gay Tony and The Lost and the Damned.
Yeah, yeah. Both of those were incredible.
Yeah.
And like that's kind of what you expected them to do. At least I did. Mm-hmm. I thought they would put out Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto Online, and then, you know, keep updating GTA Online, but eventually they'd get to some sort of DLC. for the story, for people who like that. I would jump back into Grand Theft Auto in a heartbeat if they put out some new DLC, or especially something as big as something like they have done in the past.
Same here. It's just doesn't.
I think a lot of people probably say that, and I think Rockstar doesn't give a shit. Yeah, that's incredible.
In the last 12 months, $700 million, a three-year-old game. And this was in a year where it was not re-released. It was re-released for PS4, Xbox One, and PC the year before. And, you know, that, of course, generated a ton of money, a ton of new sales. But then this year, with no re-release, no new anything other than online DLC, it made more money. It made $700 million. That's insane.
It is astounding. But we'll move along. We won't keep talking about Rockstar's fucking ridiculous money-making tactics, and they won't put out new DLC or new games that people want. Please, make me something new, Rockstar. Phil Spencer says Xbox focus is to be the best platform for gamers, not playing catch-up with Sony. I think this has probably been Phil Spencer's whole thing since he came in as the Xbox boss. They love saying that they aren't competing with Sony while, like, trying to claw away at them slowly but surely. A lot of the features that they're implementing are just like things like, well, PlayStation doesn't have this, boom. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't tell, honestly. Like, they say, like you said, they say a lot that they aren't competing with the PS4 and all of that. And maybe a while ago I would have said that they were lying and that they're genuinely trying to defeat the PS4 as best they can.
But I don't think they're trying to defeat them, but I mean,
or outsell them.
It's fucking capitalism, man. Yeah. They want, it's called market share, and the PlayStation 4 dug into their market share as in North America, across the world. The Xbox 360 was arguably more popular than the PlayStation 3. There isn't an argument between which console is more popular right now between the PlayStation and the Xbox. We've talked about it on different podcasts, and especially I think we talked about it on the last one. The Xbox One S and the moves they're making and the missteps that Sony's making might start turning those tables. Mm-hmm. But they don't make those moves if they're not competing with Sony.
But along that line, some of their stuff that they're doing now is more. I mean, if they just wanted to sell Xbox Ones and just wanted to mark up that sales number, they would not be doing the Xbox Play anywhere. They seem to have transitioned to Xbox as a service, not Xbox the console. And it seems to be more please the fans and give the fans what they want and give them as much access as we can while pushing them into this idea of Xbox is gaming in general and Xbox is PC and Xbox One. If that makes any sense. I may be rambling.
It's not rambling. It does make a lot of sense if it's true. If you believe that Microsoft truly will be out of the hardware business.
Even if they're not, they could put out a console called the Xbox. Then they'll
constantly be trying to catch up with Sony or try to beat them.
But their Xbox could be different because it could be – I'm looking forward 10 years. I could see them putting out a thing called the Xbox that all it is – the Windows 10 version of a Steam machine. It's just a console. It's just a PC that runs PC.
That's almost games. What the Xbox is right now.
It's very close to what the Xbox is right now, and it's getting.
If they just had a little bit more robust and features more like the PC, it is that.
Yeah.
It's just not as powerful.
And that's the
it's
issue.
I mean, it's just got a power issue.
Yeah, they've got this now where, you know, you buy your game for Xbox and you get it on PC as well.
It's fucking great.
It's great. And
if you have a PC that's you know, ready to play those games, which most aren't, and I don't see, like, that's an awesome thing for somebody like me who's, or somebody like you who's got the Xbox and they got a PC, and they're like, I want to play this game on both because I can. Mm-hmm. That's great. But for, like, most of my friends who own Xbox Ones, they don't have PCs that are capable of running this game on their PC. They have a laptop. They might not even have that. They might have a tablet, you know?
Yeah.
They're not... I just don't get it. I think it is a cool feature, but I don't understand it, because people who buy it for PC are never going to play it on Xbox. Why would they do that? Maybe they have some friends on Xbox Live they want to play with. But some of the games you're able to play
cross, able to do that. Yeah.
You know. I mean it's a weird thing, but you're right. That kind of stuff makes sense in the overall hypothesis that you put forward, you know?
Yeah. Like, I still haven't figured out their end game is the big thing. Are you wanting us all to switch to Windows 10 and buy our games on the Xbox Game Store on Windows 10? Because I'm probably not going to do that. I'm probably going to keep buying my games on Steam.
It's really not that bad, because if you're working, you still, I don't know how much you use Steam as far as the overlay, but and chatting with people and stuff, probably a lot. No?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't. So for me, a lot of the times I have Steam open if I'm playing a PC game, but I launch them from the NVIDIA launcher.
Okay.
So once those games are already installed on there, once I already install something from the Windows Store, I just launch it from there. Mm. And I don't ever really look for games in the Windows section.
Okay.
But you could, and it's not as intrusive as Games for Windows Live was, or felt as intrusive as
Games for Windows Live. Nothing can be.
Because now you have the Xbox app, you can be in a party chat with your friends on the Xbox One, be on your PC playing a Windows game or playing a Steam game for that matter. You could be playing anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all pretty well set up. These things are as close as possible. I mean, I've got my Elite controller that works with the wireless adapter on my PC. I switch it over to the Xbox One when I need it for that. That's their end game, is to have all of these products in your living room / office, whatever you want to call it, and have them all working together to keep you buying their shit.
Yes. Yeah.
That is their end game.
And then I guess in that world, people will still buy PS whatever, PS5, PS6, mm-hmm. because they'll have some exclusives, maybe.
Right.
Or maybe their idea is, if we can get everyone into this system, they won't even have to make that choice. When new systems come out or whatever is happening with generations, they'll look at it and they'll say, well, I'm already invested in this ecosystem. I've got a PC. I'll just get this Xbox streaming box or whatever it is that they're going to put out there. I need to be able to stream my games from my PC to my Xbox. It works the other way. They need to enable it that way, because that's what I want to do. That's what I do on my Steam Link. Turn the Xbox One into a Steam Link for these Xbox Play Anywhere games. Awesome. Great. I'll be even deeper into their ecosystem.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Sony sees this and they go, well, we got to put our games on PC too.
That would be good. Everything on PC. I love my consoles, but if everything could come out on PC, it would be very, very, very nice.
If they would just, like, Microsoft's so close for me to where I wouldn't buy their console anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're so close on this PC experience. If they could work out something where PC players, if it was all like per game, right? So say Black Ops 3 or Rainbow Six or Gears of War 4 or Forza Horizon even. If those games were, I was able to play on my PC with my friends on Xbox One and chat with them through the Xbox app on a Windows 10 PC, just like I would on an Xbox One console.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to play the games in any mode that I wanted to, not just some of the stuff that they've done hit and miss with. I would not buy that console anymore. I would definitely go all PC.
Yeah.
I think it's just a better experience.
Would. Yeah. But I mean, in that instance, I think that they're fine with it. I think Phil Spencer even said that he's fine with that. So that seems to be...
Yeah, but they need to do the work to look. I mean...
Yeah. It's moving that way. Stuff, that's the trend.
Make that stuff... Like, yeah. With Gears of War 4, they did put in a cross-platform between PC and Xbox play,
mm-hmm.
where you can play the co-op campaign with players on the Xbox One. Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish they did that for multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, that always has the issue of keyboard and mouse versus gamepad.
Fuck them.
Yeah, I think the Xbox gamers may disagree on there.
Bullshit, man. I'm so fucking tired of that nonsense.
It's not nonsense.
It's nonsense.
It is.
I
not.
Mean, every PC gamer is going to tell you, "Oh, I'm gonna do this with my PC keyboard and mouse much better than you can do with a controller." I go into these PC games with my Xbox controller wireless. Black Ops 3 over the weekend, playing it. I was killed. I mean, it's not there. It didn't feel like there was any difference in that game.
I'm shocked to hear that.
I was like, I had a great run in there with a controller.
Maybe you're just that good. I don't know. Look at, you know, keyboard and mouse versus gamepad. If you take top tier gamepad controller players and like mid-range to maybe above average keyboard and mouse players, the keyboard and mouse players still win.
That's not true. I think there are probably kids on, you know, Call of Duty, Xbox, PlayStation versions that could go into a PC game with a controller and kick the shit out of people. Maybe. No matter how long they've been playing with a keyboard and mouse. I guarantee it. And that's a guarantee I can get behind, Kyle. That's a little guarantee. All right, let's move along to the PlayStation Plus versus Xbox Live Games with Gold for October. We just turned into October, and we've got some new games coming out for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live. You took a look at these and gave it your proprietary scoring system.
My completely objective assessment of the quality.
It's completely objective. And explain why it's completely objective again.
Because I pull it out of my ass.
Okay. The most objective place.
It is completely subjective. I put some numbers here. I use, you know, Metacritic just to kind of give some objectivity to it. But in the end, it's really just looking at it and deciding what looks best. And for this month,
but you do, you look at the average Metacritic score, you look at how old they are and how new they are, right?
Yeah,
and that comes into play as well. So there's a little bit of science behind this monthly roundup that we do. So the free games for PlayStation Plus in October are Resident Evil for PS4, that new one that just came out. What was that? That was less than a year ago, right?
It was about a year ago. Probably around Halloween last year.
Transformers Devastation. That's a
Platinum Games.
Platinum Games Jam. So it's one of those fighting game style beat 'em up Bayonetta sort of with Transformers.
Bayonetta, very much like Bayonetta, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy action game.
Maybe even Metal Gear Rising or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Devastation was okay. I'm not sure if I reviewed that, but I'm not sure.
I feel like it was Dean. I don't know why.
Maybe. Mad Riders for PS3. I don't know what that is.
Me either.
From Dust for PS3. I do know what that is, but that's an old-ass game.
Mm-hmm.
Some Vita titles. Code Realize, Guardian of Rebirth for PS Vita. And Actual Sunlight. Neither of those. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, the whole last four were kind of just tacked on there.
Oh, yeah. The Metacritic average score for those titles was a 78.8%. The oldest title, I'm going to guess, was From Dust.
I think so.
And the newest title was released last year, which is Transformers Devastation, probably. Yep. And then we've got the Xbox Live games with gold for October. You've got Super Mega Baseball Extra Innings, 80%. Escapists for Xbox One, 74%. I Am Alive for Xbox 360, 69%. MX vs. ATV Reflex for Xbox 360, 75%. I think Microsoft just went and said, let's find all the games that no one's ever played and throw them in this list.
Yeah. I mean, when they first announced these games, everyone was just kind of, it was a very big meh from the gaming community. It's like, oh.
Oh, I'm surprised people's hairs wasn't on fire and fucking they're screaming and ranting and raving.
They're not getting
a good game.
Yeah, Games with Gold has not been the highest quality. Hmm. They've hit it every once in a while.
But they do hit it occasionally.
Yeah, but most months it's something like this where it's just a smattering of games that were just kind of pulled out of nowhere.
Swept under the rug. They're not horrible scores.
No, yeah. I mean, and it's Super Mega Baseball apparently is pretty good. It seemed a little...
Extra innings, right? Yeah. In time for playoff baseball?
Yeah, I'm surprised that they didn't put more of a Halloween slant to these, like Resident Evil for PlayStation Plus, obviously.
Ah, someone was asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
I Am Alive, I think, is something like that.
Which is like the worst game in the whole but it's, set.
Yeah. Because, it's not good. Honestly, I'm not even going to mess around, says Kyle. PS Plus won this month hands down. Hands down.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Go pick up all your free games. But I don't know how you would use this versus.
It's mostly just to argue with each other.
Yeah, but if you want to throw something in somebody's face that owns an Xbox this month, tell them, why don't you go play I Am Alive, you motherfucker. All right. That's it for the news. We're going to move into what we played this week. This is running on much longer than I thought it was going to. So we're going to be brief with what we played this week. You played Paper Mario Color Splash. How was it?
It was actually really good. People were very upset when this was first announced because Sticker Star was an awful game. It was the 3DS game that came out before this. Oh, did you like it? You like Sticker Star?
Fuck yeah.
Dude, people hated Sticker Star.
I hadn't played it. I think that's the one I reviewed. It might not have been.
Was it on 3DS?
Yes.
I think that's... I mean, aside from the Mario and Luigi Paper Mario mashup, I think that's the only Paper Mario on 3DS.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did review that. It's okay. I get it wrong once in a while compared to public opinion, but I liked it.
Well, then you would probably still like this because, I mean, they essentially just took it and fixed a lot of the problems, but not all of them. So, it's Paper Mario. They've been trending less RPG-ish with the series, and that kind of continues. There's really no stats. There's no companions. The story is kind of bare bones, but a little bit better than what we've seen before. It's gorgeous. I don't know if you looked at any of these screenshots or any of the videos, but
yeah, the game is a beautiful game. I remember great looking. That's the game I reviewed. Yeah, it looks great.
Well,
it's kind of got like the RPG time battles.
Yeah. So it's turn-based battles, and that was one of the problems that I had with the game is, it's a card-based battle system, and so on the gamepad you have to sift through your cards. They're all in one long row. You find the card that you want. You drag it up. You do that a couple of times because you can have more than one card later on in the game. Then you paint them by holding them, and that determines how powerful the attack will be. And then you fling them up, and then you can attack. And that just gets really old really quick. It was not an enjoyable. I would much rather just, hit A and select my attack and get on with the game. But, you know, they had to work some gamepad stuff in there.
But this is, you know, this is a Wii U title, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Ah, that would probably be, yeah, that would probably be beautiful.
It really, really is. Like, I cannot oversell how good. I saw some reviews that said this was the best looking game they'd ever seen. That seems a little out there. But it
you
is
crazy
it is
Nintendo
there.
Fans.
I mean, it is
Paper Mario Sticker Star review. Outside of some puzzling problems with progression, Paper Mario Sticker Star is a fine addition to the Mario franchise.
You were out there on your own with that one.
It wasn't me. It was another writer. I thought I reviewed that.
Yeah, but this one, I think fans of the series will be surprised at how good it is, because they're probably coming in with low expectations, and it's a genuinely good game. It's really
fun.
And
it doesn't matter. People are going to buy this, Nintendo fans, right? They just buy all the Mario games.
I mean, Paper Mario is a bit different. I don't know. Like, I never got big into the Paper Mario series. I played them.
I heard that Paper Mario on GameCube was, like, the shit.
People, yes, they're dying for a game that is like that, and the series has drifted very far away from it. So that's kind of their big problem. Yeah, Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door was, like, some people will put that onto their top 10 list.
Yeah, I have a friend like that.
Yep.
I never played it. I never owned a GameCube.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So, gave it a 4 out of 5. You liked it.
Yep.
And you think that people should give this one a shot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I reviewed Gears of War 4.
Dude, you gave this a much higher score than I was expecting.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't think you wouldn't like it, but it just... I don't know. It just... that's you seem to love it, and a lot of people did. A lot of good reviews out there.
I read all of them, too. I read, like... because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what the scores for this game were going to be.
Yep, I jump out there. Whenever it's an embargoed review like this, where you hit alongside everyone else, I want to read everyone else's just to see... did I get this way wrong? And you seem to be dead on with yours.
Right. I think so. Like, every single person kind of felt the same way, in the criticisms of the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not much to criticize on the multiplayer and Horde front. There's not much to cheer for either. It's Gears. It's more Gears of War.
Yeah.
You know, it's they used the exact blueprint that was developed by Epic Games, and that was 4 or 5 years ago. You know, they put out Gears of War 3, had like... Gears of War 3 was the one that was kind of hitting on all cylinders, as I put in the review. It had everything at its best. Horde, multiplayer, and campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked about it because we talk about games that we're playing for review. Bounce ideas back and forth, and I kind of told you that, like, this is, they're using some of this stuff that they've been using in this game since the very beginning.
Yeah,
there is nothing new here. Why didn't they, like, this isn't a reboot, this is not like, I mean reboot's the wrong word, but this isn't something, this is like a refinement on that. I mean I think they just focused on getting this game to perform well,
mm-hmm.
to look good on the console, to be like the game that you have to play or see on the Xbox One. And I think they nailed that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a great looking game.
It makes sense. I mean, they've said, you know, it's a new team. They'd rebuild the game from the ground up, essentially.
Well, they rebuilt it in Unreal Engine 4. So all the other previous games were Unreal Engine 3.
Yeah.
And there have been some... there have been some okay Unreal Engine 4 games starting to roll out here, but nothing that has been, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Gears of War 4 is one, at least on the Xbox, that looks as good as they've been. I mean, I can't think of another game that looks as good as Gears of War on Xbox One. Not in sheer, the sheer visuals, maybe in art style, like Sunset Overdrive looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this thing feels like it's pushing the console pretty far.
It probably is. The series is always pushing
the
Xbox.
You can see the seams kind of start to creep up, especially when you kind of, I doing the play anywhere, I had to look at the game on PC. I reviewed the Xbox One version. That's the one I played it all the way through on. And I kind of dipped back in and played some on PC in like 4K visuals at uncapped frame rate. Like, it's fucking beautiful. Yeah. They did an excellent job on that side as well. But yeah, I thought the story was kind of weak. Okay. Not just in that Microsoft way of, hey, I don't give a fuck how much more you have to tell. We're cutting it off here because we got more sausages to make.
Were they like, what are you doing, Dom? He's like,
nothing.
Finish with this fight.
Credits.
Yeah. Or not, yeah, Dom, yeah, exactly. Dom, Marcus.
Yeah. We're going to finish the fight. Yeah.
Credits.
They leave a lot of, like, they introduce a lot of plot points that they do not tie up, like.
You know, it's a trilogy, I'm sure.
I don't give a fuck, man. You've got to give people, that's like my biggest pet peeve, like, of sinking the amount of time, which is really not that much, to finish the campaign on normal. We have a playthrough up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fanboyattack. That's five acts long, and I think it's about 5 hours of runtime, and that's got deaths in there. Maybe a little bit longer. That's not a long campaign.
Yeah, I feel like the original campaign in 1 and 2 were at least like 8-9 hours.
Eh.
Maybe it's been a while.
It's a little. I can't recall. Well, maybe we're just so used to doing the same exact thing in Gears of War that it's faster to get through.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Who knows?
But you're being a little negative, but you love it. You do.
Yeah.
Just because it's Gears, it's more Gears, right?
It's right. On one hand, it's what you want and expect. Like, I would hate for them to fuck up Gears of War.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, for me,
that's what happened with
if
Halo.
They fuck up Gears of War, right. If they fuck up, you fuck up a series, you just kind of get thrown off of it. And then there's no coming back from that.
Yeah.
You got to really re-grab people's attention. And the people that you want to hold are the ones that are very adamant about the series. For me, if they fuck this game up, they change too much of it, I'm going to leave and not come back.
Yeah.
But my only huge complaint is in the single player. And, like, that's not the part of the game that I've spent the most time in my time overall with Gears of War. Horde 3.0 is good. They do introduce some new ideas. It's not anything groundbreaking by any means. It's the same concept, pretty much the same, you know, relies on the same third-person shooting mechanics, installing fortifications and holding off waves, fighting boss battles, kind of the same thing as Gears of War 3. And then you have, you know, the multiplayer, which also, despite, you know, 9 new maps and 1 remake, feels like more Gears of War. It doesn't really do much else than add some new weapons. There aren't any real game-changing, like, mechanics that have been added to the game.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just across the board. I know I started with single player and kind of veered off into multiplayer, but I just want to get this out of the way because you said I loved it. These are the things that I love. Like, this classic Gears of War gameplay in both the Horde mode and the Versus mode with the visuals that are capable on the new console, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the Ultimate Edition for what it looked like in multiplayer with the 60 frames per second. And in Gears 4 I think it even one-ups that with the new engine. And some of these levels are just incredible to play on. They're going to be putting out new DLC all the time. I mean, there's tons of things to look forward to as a fan of the series in the multiplayer aspects of Gears of War 4. So that's why, I mean, like, that's the main reason that I love this game and gave it such a high score is that this stuff is so strong.
Yep.
And it's not uncommon for shooters to have weak stories and strong multiplayer components. You know?
I think that that's extremely common.
Yeah. But Gears of War kind of had all three.
It did, yeah. I think up to, I mean, maybe Judgment wasn't that good.
Some people didn't like Judgment. I personally didn't mind Judgment because they did the things that I was actually wanting them to do, like something else in the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of it being straightforward, super, super linear, firefight to firefight, kick open door, firefight, kick open door, firefight, chainsaw door, firefight.
Hold X,
press B. Hey, buddy, come over here. You press X too. We're going to open this at the same time. That's what it is. And that's okay because the firefights in gunplay and cover system and stuff is insane. It's very good, and it looks very good.
Cool.
So you can deal with that. But, yeah, with Judgment, they added some, like, alt paths and stuff in the story, which was totally, it was a new developer, and they actually took a chance with it. That chance, people apparently didn't want. So the Coalition said, well, look what happened with Judgment. We sure as fuck can't go off this fucking path.
Maybe they'll get onto it with Gears of War 5, though. Now that they've solidified their base, they put out a game that showed that they can make a good Gears game, now they can kind of tweak it a little bit.
They can do whatever the hell they want, as long as they don't alter what is basically a classic, best-in-class third-person multiplayer. Like, there isn't a better third-person multiplayer game out there, I don't think. That's my opinion. Can you think of one?
Yeah, third person multiplayer, it's probably Gears. Gears probably takes it.
I mean, Uncharted is the only thing probably comparable, right? I'm trying to think of what else would be out there in the third person.
Even though people really enjoy Uncharted and The Last of Us multiplayer, I don't feel like those like hit as hard as Gears of War has.
No. Not even close.
Yeah.
Maybe for some people, but I mean, in my opinion, no. So yeah, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Loved it. You know, I said it was exactly what you'd expect from a Gears game, an impressive visual showcase in the campaign, with accompanying competitive and cooperative modes to keep you busy long after the credits roll. I said it's nice to see it back on the Xbox. It's been a long wait, and I think the wait was worth it. So.
And that kicks off Shooter Month.
Yeah.
It's going to have a lot of competition out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see how... I mean, it's a different type of shooter.
Yeah,
the other ones definitely are first-person shooters competing against each other, right?
Yeah.
We also played Modern Warfare.
Yeah, which I actually really enjoyed. I've been playing through the campaign some.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah. It's good.
That's a good game.
It's good.
Yep.
Okay. We did a video for it up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fanboyattack. You can check that out there. We're not going to get into too much detail on it because we're already running over time for this week's podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can capture something. you can catch all the things that we talked about today on this show at attackofthefanboy.com. or on youtube.com/fanboyattack, where we have a lot of gameplay videos, walkthroughs, stuff like that. So for Kyle, I'm William for attackofthefanboy.com, and thanks for listening.